This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Screenwriter, director, filmmaker, formerly of the WINA newsroom, he is now working in Los Angeles, and he joins us live on the line from the West Coast. And if I'm not mistaken, Bruce, you're literally, as we speak, on a boat in Marina Del Rey.
Yes.
What's it look like?
Literally on a boat in Marina Del Rey. Well, it's my boat. I can be on it whenever I want.
Is it absolutely beautiful?
Well, I was just thinking, that's a real catchy title there, and I think somebody out here needs to pick up on that. The high-functioning alcoholic.
There you go. There's your next Hollywood blockbuster.
You know, it's sort of the sequel to The Absent-Minded Professor.
What's the weather like out there right now?
Oh, it's cracking me up listening to your weather report there a second ago. You know, tomorrow you're going to have a high of 54 degrees.
It's springtime
in
Virginia.
December, we had kind of a cold spell for Los Angeles, shall we say. And local weather guy was on the air saying, boy, it's really cold out there. It's 55 degrees.
Well,
today it's 71, 72 degrees. It's sunny. It's pretty, you know.
It's Marina Del Rey.
It's always, you know, not always like this, but pretty much. Often
yeah.
Enough that, you know, you really, really enjoy it.
Let's get right to it. We need our Hollywood fix. Where should we start?
Let's start with a Charlottesville connection to our Hollywood fix. Here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and that is our good friend Rahm Alejandro.
Yes, has been a guest on this program many times.
Yes, UVA filmmaker. He may not have told you this, but he is having his film, Ross Cosmos, playing at the Red Cat Theater, which is located in the Disney Concert Hall complex.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a big deal. It's going to be a week from today, Thursday, April 2nd. It's on a bill with five other films. If anyone's going to be out here or you know anyone who is out here, I highly recommend you cruise down to see it. Not only is it a terrific film, but you're also supporting Rahm, who is one of the best guys in the business.
Yeah, and Rahm Alejandro, of course, was a student recently, graduated from the University of Virginia, made films as a student here in Charlottesville, and if I'm not mistaken, that's one of the films he made here.
Yes.
I'm
trying to remember the exact numbers, but it's something he spent either $3,000 or $4,000. He shot it on, I think, Super 16. I'm not sure, but it looks like a million-dollar film. I mean, he is so talented. He is such a good director that I really hope he goes far.
That's amazing. I can remember going over to the Clemens Digital Media Lab when I was working on some stuff, and he was always there on the computer editing his movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is extremely talented. Of course, talent has nothing to do with being successful in Hollywood, so you have to kind of keep that in mind.
So tell us why it's a big deal he's getting in there under that Disney brand.
It's first of all, you're playing the Disney Concert Hall, which is in downtown Los Angeles, which is the new Frank Gehry showcase, and it's the Red Cat Theater in there. So being able to play the venue, you could say, hey, my film showed at Disney Hall. That's a big deal in the independent film world. But it's also getting your films shown in Los Angeles.
Where people can see them and talk about them and get to know you and your work, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not so much, I mean, really people aren't going to come and see his movie. Not people that matter. You're not going to get big agents and Hollywood people to come and see your film when it's screening at Disney Hall. But you can tell them that you showed it at Disney Hall, and that will impress them.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So it's a great calling card, and it can, if it doesn't open doors, at least it doesn't slam any.
Absolutely, we're talking with Bruce Sanborn for our Hollywood Fix here, Entertainment Update. What's this about Valerie Bertinelli, Bruce?
Oh, it's just you may have seen the cover of People magazine this week.
She's back in a bikini.
Yes, she is. I was up there at her house in Malibu for that shoot.
Get out!
I'm dead serious.
Tell me the whole story.
We went to junior high together.
You and Valerie Bertinelli?
Yes.
Really?
And I was actually good friends with her brother. I didn't know her that well. She's, you know, a year or two older than me. But she was very nice. She's still sweet as pie, very polite. I don't think she really remembered me, but she pretended that she did, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, she is so together and so grounded in, you know, of course, the ex-wife of Eddie Van Halen. That could send anybody off a cliff, and she did not go off the cliff. She looks great. She's got it together. I mean, it was a lot of fun hanging out up there. Well, and just raw courage. It was really cold that day up in Malibu, and she was doing those shots in a bikini right on the water. So.
And what was that magazine?
People.
It's the cover of People magazine.
Yes.
So they're celebrating her weight loss. Is that the...
Yeah, more or less. I mean, you know, it doesn't take much to get people excited these days, I guess.
What's the latest on the Screen Actors Guild?
Screen Actors, it's a weird economy out here right now because there are people who are actually talking about functioning without a SAG contract ever again. They're saying if they won't come to the table, it seems the producers made what I would consider to be a really stupid move, all right? They, as I told you last time we talked, they were getting back together. They were going to reopen negotiations with a more moderate team from the Screen Actors Guild and the producers on the other side. Well, the producers came in and laid down what they called their final offer. This is it. It's not negotiable. It's a take-it-or-leave-it situation. Well, if you want a contract and you finally get people to the table who are willing to give and take and negotiate on things, you don't walk in the door and say, this is it, take it or leave it. Those are the people you actually negotiate with. The Screen Actors Guild team just said, well, then we're leaving it, and walked right away from the table. And there's been very little movement since. It seems like everyone has just learned to accept the fact that they're not going to have a SAG contract. It's just not something that is ever going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, how that shakes out is going to be very, very interesting, but it could be, oh, there's any number of things. I get the feeling that, as I talked about a couple of segments ago, the leader of the SAG membership, this jerk named Alan Rosenberg, he wants to wait anyway so that he can get all the offices are open, official positions in leadership at SAG are up for a vote in June. And he wants to wait till then anyway so that he can hopefully get his maniacal people back into positions of power so they can, you know, light the torches and grab the pitchforks and go storming through the streets of Los Angeles screaming strike. No one thinks that's going to happen, but he can believe it. So from their point of view, they're really not in a hurry to get back to the bargaining table.
So we can see a lot of people in the industry now might be interested in just abandoning the union and, you know, forget the union. We want to work.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm kind of leading up to. This could be a situation where the Screen Actors Guild actually, well, I don't think it would cease to exist, but I think that they are overplaying their hand, and people are learning to live without them and without their contract, and they may just be irreparably damaged.
And that's huge news.
I'm not talking about in the next month, even in the next 6 months. I'm talking a year from now, 2 years from now. Their credibility is just falling away.
And that's huge because SAG was, I mean, you didn't work in Hollywood without a SAG card.
Well, and technically you still can't. But you know what? You can with an AFTRA contract. And you can with AFTRA. And everyone who is a member of SAG is also a member of AFTRA. So what do you need SAG for?
We're talking with Bruce Sanborn, our entertainment update, live from Los Angeles. He's on a boat in Marina Del Rey as we speak. Tell us about the movies opening this weekend.
We've got some, I don't know, it's kind of a weird mixed bag this week. I'm not really sure what's going on. The big hit this weekend, of course, is going to be Monsters vs. Aliens. It's another of the Disney-type, you know, you take the Monsters, Inc. and
Sigourney Weaver Alien.
Sigourney Weaver, not that. Aliens. It's the animated, fun alien.
Yeah.
You know, the kind who do tap dances and stuff.
Right.
So I think that's obviously going to be number one at the box office. It's opening in 3D. It's opening at IMAX. And every kid is going, I want to go see a monster today. Oh, God, God.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's going to be what it's all about. There's another movie opening called 12 Rounds. If you really, really hate your life and you want to make it even worse, I would suggest you go see this movie, 12 Rounds. There's another horror film opening called The Haunting in Connecticut. It's based on a true story about ghosts haunting in Connecticut. It sounds like more of the, I don't know, I'm just not seeing anything new coming out of this one.
Yeah.
If you like horror films, go see it, I guess. If you don't, then, you know.
Hey, Bruce, I wanted to tell you, I actually rented two movies recently, both of which... hands down, two of the best movies I've ever seen, and I wanted to share it because I know you've probably seen at least one of them. One of them is a Japanese animated film called Howl's Moving Castle.
Yes.
which was mind-blowing. I mean, it was an amazing story.
And off the top of my head, I cannot remember the name of the director, but that's like not even his best. He is a phenomenal director, amazing animation, does amazing work. That film was actually nominated for Best Picture, Best Animated Feature, some years back when it first came out, and it lost to, like, I don't know, Cars or something.
Miyazaki.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miyazaki or whatever.
Hayao Miyazaki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just an amazing.
If you like that, then check out some of his other films because he is a brilliant, brilliant director.
I also got Charlie Kaufman's Schenectady, or however you pronounce it. It's his latest.
Schenectady, New York.
Schenectady, yeah, New York. Yeah. Which I watched it. I rented it. I watched it one night, and then I watched it again the next night, and that is, I loved it. I loved every bit of it.
It's a very interesting film. That was on my top 10 list, and I still think it is. It is an absolutely brilliant film, but it's a brilliant film in the same way that a couple of years ago there was a movie by David Lynch called Inland Empire that came out that is 3 hours long. It left me absolutely shaken. It's a brilliant work of art. But if you asked me what it's about, I couldn't tell. I have no idea what that film is about. Same thing with Synecdoche, New York. You know, really, what was that film about? It's a film that seems to have a plot line, but it really doesn't. And yet, somehow, there's an elation to that film. It's amazingly life-affirming. I don't know. I don't even know what you...
I thought it was one of the best movies.
It's a very, very good film.
It was fantastic.
If you like... If you want a typical Hollywood experience, do not see it.
No.
it will, you know, stay away from it. But if you're looking for something that's a little different, a little more offbeat, something that is really challenging,
very creative,
it's a film for you.
Yeah, and if you like Charlie Kaufman, you know, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, adaptation, Being John Malkovich, that guy. This is, I think it's his best. It's just a masterpiece. I love it.
I think so too. I am not a big Charlie Kaufman fan, so I was kind of hesitant about seeing it, and when I finally did see it, he's really kind of hit or miss.
Yeah. What about new movies in the works?
Fast and Furious is also coming out this week. Or no, that's next weekend. Remember the movie The Fast and the Furious made Vin Diesel a big star?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Though.
Well, now it's Fast and Furious. Not The Fast and the Furious. It's Fast and Furious, and Vin Diesel's back in it.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, there you go.
Maybe he's got some career problems.
What about movies in the pipeline?
Well, the big one that everyone's talking about is Where the Wild Things Are. Most of us, when we were kids, you know, if we're of a certain age, remember the film or the book by Maurice Sendak.
Of course.
Where the Wild Things Are.
Yep.
It has been made into a full-length live-action feature film by Spike Jonze, who, as you may or may not know, as we were just talking about, directed...
Being John Malkovich.
John Malkovich, yeah. Which Charlie Kaufman wrote. So he was also involved with Sofia Coppola for a while, but we'll leave that aside. That didn't work out. Anyhow, it's a strange story about this film. They made the film. It was originally supposed to be released last October, and then Universal Studios pulled the entire film and put it in turnaround.
What's that mean?
Which means a turnaround is where they decide they want to see if they can get any money for something. If a script goes into turnaround, it means we don't want to make it, but we want to see if anybody else wants to buy it.
Ah, okay.
So it's like having a garage sale for stuff. So they put the film in garage sale mode, and then all of a sudden, it lands at Warner Brothers, and it's like getting really highly touted, and they've got a trailer coming out, and so if they really thought it was that bad, that horrible, then they might have just shunted it off straight to DVD.
I saw the trailer.
They think something's there. I would suspect that they've done some reshoots, that they've done some other things, and some re-editing.
The trailer is online now. You can find it. I watched it actually last night, and I was very underwhelmed. It looked like a kid playing with a bunch of people dressed up like from Disney World, like you see them walking around Disney World in all the costumes. It looked like that.
Controllers.
Yeah, it was sort of like, that doesn't look very good.
I'm sorry.
What else is in the works?
Well, this Los Angeles being what it is, even on my boat, I cannot escape. Right up at the top of my dock next to the parking lot is an empty restaurant space. It used to be a bar called Moose McGillicuddy's, and then a restaurant called Orchid, and it's been sitting here empty since I've been here for the past year and a half or so. Well, for the last 3 days, they've been dressing it. It seems that a television production crew has decided to shoot here. They have it all set up for shooting a new film called, or new TV series. It's a pilot called Cougar Town.
Cougar Town.
Cougar Town. Obviously, it's not set in the wilderness. Some of you may know that cougar is a sort of a slang term for a particular type of woman. And
like a hot older woman, right?
Yeah, well, a little bit more than hot, more like voracious. That kind of thing.
Like, wow.
Anyhow, so this is the brilliance of television. This is why I try to avoid that medium as much as possible. They thought that, you know, hey, if cougars are hot, how about a town of cougars? Cougar Town. What a great idea for a show. This is what they're funding these days. I'm sitting here and I'm watching, you know, these guys who are making 25, 50 bucks an hour as they set up, tape, stretch, paint, do everything. And it's like they're putting all this money, probably $1.3 million, into a TV show.
Is that what it costs to make a pilot?
Called Cougar Town. Yeah, generally. Sometimes more, sometimes less. But that's a good ballpark figure.
Goodness gracious. Gosh.
So, look for that, local listings.
Yeah, look for Cougar Town near you.
Yeah, that's got to be fun.
Bruce Sanborn, filmmaker, screenwriter extraordinaire, formerly of the WINA Newsroom, now live in Los Angeles on a boat in Marina Del Rey, joins us on occasion for our Hollywood Fix. Bruce, always great to talk to you.
Great being with you, Coy.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Take care.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.